How many of you all believe what you just sung? It'll be right in that moment. I'm going to ask you to do something. It's the first of the year. And the first of the year, I don't know about you, but like I throw a lot of stuff away the week after Christmas. Y'all throw stuff away. And so the pastors spend a whole week getting rid of 08 and getting ready for 09. And most of the time we got to clean our offices. So I spent like 3 days cleaning my office, just looking at stuff that had gone on, realizing that there had to be just some stuff cleansed out of that office. I mean, there's stuff that I was going to get to 6 months ago and it was still laying where I left it 6 months ago. So that means I'm probably not going to use that, and I had to get rid of it. And you know what? I'm going to pray that God would refresh us. What do you think? How many of y'all got some stuff inside you just don't need to carry on to this next year? All right? And I want you to know, we're going to talk about the vision of the church today. What's Hillview about? I'm going to give you three words that you can't forget if you're going to hang around here. First of all, connect. God connects with us through His grace. It is God that initiates the connection. It's God that keeps the connection. It is Jesus Christ who wants us to be connected people to heaven. Okay, so can you fire that word back at me? What? Connect. Connect. You got to know that here. Second word is this: healing. I want you to know that people get healed at Hillview all the time. People ask me, "Are you all a healing church?" I said, "Oh, absolutely." Now, it may not look like it does at TV places. And part of that's the way your pastor, the Lord, has instructed me. God said, just go about my work. My work doesn't need to be shown off. So here's what I believe. I believe God's truth is testimony by itself. I don't believe you have to sell the real Jesus. I believe you have to sell a fake Jesus. I believe the real Jesus, His truth, will work for itself. It is what it is. And the third thing is this: development, which means this: you ought to get better than you were. So I don't know about you guys, but I don't do New Year's resolutions. How many of y'all, do some of y'all do those? The reason I don't do them is because I don't ever keep them, so I just skip them. Any of y'all are like that? You know, like what? I'm going to lose 10 pounds. Well, maybe. Okay? So I kind of put it like this. I know I need to work in that area of my life. So I want you to think, do any of you all have some spaces in your life that you might need to work on? You got some issues, some elements, some things you would like to get better about. Anybody got any of those ideas? So I challenge you to let Jesus enter into those places and get you better. Make sense? It's about getting better. So here's kind of the Hillview thing. First of all, we want you to connect to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are passionately committed that you would leave this place headed to heaven, okay? We make no apologies about that. Number two, if you got some areas in your life that need to be healed, we pray that as we journey together and participate in worship and teaching and loving one another and listening to each other, that the power of the Holy Spirit through prayer is going to touch those areas in your life and you're going to be healed, okay? Here's what I believe. It's not, are you wounded? Wrong question. Where are you wounded? Right question. Everybody's wounded somewhere. Does that make sense? And if you just had that thought, well, I'm not wounded, that's because you're super sick. You have two issues. First of all, you don't think you're a human being. And second of all, you don't think you have any woundedness in your life. We all got some area in life that we've been disappointed, we've been hurt, and we need God to get us better. Okay? So we work on getting better. And the third thing is this: we ought to have a desire to get what? Why are some of you all going to college? I know there's multiple reasons, but what's the theory behind it? Yeah, to gain knowledge, and we have this theory that if we gain knowledge, we should get, well, we'd get smarter, and thus we would be better. Good. Thank you, Bradley, for following the metaphor here. Good. Yeah. Yeah, we got this theory that if we know more, we'll get better. Make sense? I would question that to some degree because I say you can know a lot and still be sick. Knowledge does not equal life. Truth equals life. And I would propose to you, since we're in a philosophical moment here, not all knowledge is truth. Would you agree with that? Not all knowledge is truth. So what's really going to set me free is what? Truth. And we want to be about the truth here at Hillview. And it ought to do three things. Connect you to Jesus Christ through the cross and resurrection. Heal. Let's get better. Let's find those places, man, where we're off base and let God touch us and get on base. And the third thing is develop and be better people than we were a year ago. Okay, so I want you to stand and we're just going to pray. And this is not going to take long today. Hopefully it's not painful. It hasn't been painful. We've seen people get saved today. And I want you to know we're in this together. So if you don't mind, go ahead and get a hand. Get a hand of another human being. Try everybody to participate. We're going to try this. Okay, now watch. This is part. Yeah, good job, Balcony. Go ahead and cross those aisles. There you go. Coach him up there, Coach Hayes. Sent you in the bus. Yeah, you thought you was going to hide from me today. Get out of here. I can find you anywhere. Watch this. Get up there. And come on, Balcony, on this side. Y'all go ahead and get my hands over there. Yeah, this way. There you go. Good job. Let's hook this thing up. Now, hold on. That's what it means to be church. Now, church, I want you to hear me in the name of Jesus. For those of you all that are believing in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, it's going to get real this year. Okay? We're fixing to see who believes in Jesus and who just attends church. And there's a big difference. Now, my prayer is that we've preached and taught and loved and worshiped and prayed that every one of you are going to hold to your faith. But it is going to be tested. Do you hear me? And so watch this. Here's the way you prepare for the test. Love God that much more. That's the way we're going to do it. And I want you to know we're in this together. Somebody's going to get saved today, and I pray that every one of us get better today. Y'all hear that vibe? You hear that vibe? Well, let's pray and just let God touch us, okay? Lord, we want to come to you today because we're open. And Lord Jesus, I hope in the next few moments that you would just clear our minds from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, I want to pray for healing in our lives. Lord, I want to pray that you, as we go through this message, you would just show us the areas in our lives where maybe we've been bitter, we've been hurt, we've been disappointed, and you would speak truth into that. Lord, I pray right now that there be a spirit of love fall over this place that can only come from heaven. God, let us just taste it. Have a sample in this moment of how much you love us. And then, Lord, I pray that we would be concerned enough for each other that we would want everybody in this house to get better. And so, God, let that just move right now. And then, Lord, I just want to thank you because in this particular service, there are so many beautiful young people here. And God, I pray right now for their protection. I pray that they will learn truth. I pray that they will be risen up to make a difference. And God, I pray this, that they don't have to go through some of the damaging stuff that previous generations, my generation, Lord, went through. Stupid decisions that cost life. I pray that they don't have to do that, Lord. And God, as we journey together this year, just show us who you are. Amen, church. All right, you may be seated. We're going to go over some basic principles. It's about loving Jesus. Life starts when we decide, I'm going to love Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to hang out at Hillview, this is a big deal. This is a big deal because you're going to hear about it every Sunday. You're going to hear about it every Wednesday night. You're going to hear about it on Sunday nights. Whenever we're preaching, you're going to hear about this. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that our sin can be forgiven. Now, I want you to know why that's very important. First of all, you got to come to this conclusion. All human beings have sinned. Does everybody agree with that? Now, let me tell you what makes a lot of people sick. They can't forgive. I have three or four sides to me of study. One of those sides, Elizabeth and I, for 15 years or so, didn't we, honey, worked in the mental health field as professionals and clients, probably. But watch. As a mental health professional, a lot of the diagnoses of these mental health dilemmas, guess what a lot of them stem from? They can't forgive. Well, one of them, they'd always tell me this one. Preacher, I can't forgive myself. And guess what I've learned? That's true. And even if you did forgive yourself, I want to ask a question to that. Now let's dialogue a little bit today. Okay? You have forgiven yourself. Now what? Well, let's really talk about it. Are you going to heaven because you've forgiven yourself?
No.
Well, but do you feel better? Well, people tell me that now that they've forgiven themselves, they feel better. They tell me they've had these, I feel more fulfilled. Watch, here's what I'm scared of. We're going to have a lot of people that feel good living in hell. I mean, I really believe they're going to go, well, I'll tell you what, I've forgiven myself, but I'm walking in hell. I am a self-forgiven instrument of hell. You and I feeling good. Please write this down. Please hear this truth. It is being twisted all in our ears on a constant basis. Life is not about feeling good. That is not the objective of life. They lied. There are some times we will feel bad, but still live. Why is everybody freaked out right now? Because they're a little bit uncomfortable. I heard all these retailers, the world's falling apart. Christmas sales down 4%. Did most of y'all get a present? How many of y'all got a present and weren't even thankful? How many of y'all looked at something and said, what is it? How many of y'all got an item of clothing you'll never wear again? How many of y'all didn't even appreciate the gift because you always want something to just bless you? Now watch, Hillview, here's where we got to grow up in the name of Jesus. First step, you got to realize that all human beings have sinned. Because here's where we're about at Hillview. We want you to understand you need to connect to who? Jesus, man. Jesus is going to save you. Jesus is going to love you. And Jesus is going to heal you. But you've got to get that. Now, guess what? I'm going to be very honest. I've had people that no longer attend Hillview Heights Church. You know why? Because I preach the cross and the resurrection. Pastor Ayers, we need to go deeper. Now, let me tell you what that is. That is an absolute. Think about that. How do you go deeper than the cross? Now, here's what they were saying. Would you teach us some ooey-gooey stuff that puts us at the center of the cross? Pastor Ayers' response, no! No! Jesus is the center of full and abundant life. And here's the struggle. I want to sit where He sits. Any of y'all got that struggle? I want to look at life and say, how does it make me feel? How does it make me look? How does it make me, you know, where am I going with this? All those questions are about who? Me. What if we start asking new questions? Jesus, who am I in you? Well, you're a person where all things are possible. Oh, wow, that changes everything. Jesus, where do you want me to go? Well, ultimately, I want to take you to heaven, but along the way, this is where I want you to stop. That'd be pretty cool, isn't it? Jesus, what is life about? You know what He's going to tell us? Living. How many of y'all just need a good dose of living in 09? How many of y'all have just been treading through the day? Anybody tread through the day? Well, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. In the name of Jesus, quit treading and start living. Quit just saying, hey, I'm going to work. Hey, I'm going to school. Hey, I'm married. In fact, Elizabeth, we're changing our whole marriage. I used to celebrate that we made it through another year just because I thought that was very impressive of Elizabeth to be able to do that. But you know what we ought to do? You say, wait a minute. We've been married for 24 years. We're on our 25th year of marriage, which if you don't believe there's a God and you know me, there's a miracle right there. Because the buddies that I run around with, they're on their fourth wife. And I was just like them. Here's the only difference. Something got into me. Who was it? Jesus. And Jesus will change how you look at everything. Jesus will change how you respond to everything. Somebody hearing me, a connection with Jesus reorganizes every destiny in your life and every relationship in your being.
Amen.
This thing is intense.
Yeah,
it's called Christ. And so guess what? We're on this wide open crazy mission. Donald, thanks for loving your sister enough that you wanted to invite her to heaven with you. You're a good brother. You'd have been a rat, man, if you didn't tell her about Christ. Let me help you with the intensity. I really expect every one of you who believe in Jesus Christ to share your faith. Now, I don't expect you, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, to share your faith. Because you don't have anything to share. You can't share what you don't believe in. I really got in trouble one time. It was at a professional pastor kind of meeting. And I was leading this particular conference, workshop part of the conference. And one of the guys raised his hand and he said, Dr. Ayers, can I ask you a question? Why do you think most churches aren't evangelistic? I said, most churches don't believe Jesus is for real. Most churches really believe that they need to organize and be nice to one another, give some poor people a little bit of money, make sure that they shake hands with the community, look good on Sunday, do some Christmas and Thanksgiving stuff, and that is the extent of being gathered together. I say that's baloney. I said our mission is to breathe in the power of forgiveness and exhale the opportunity of Christ on a consistent and constant basis. Those are who believe.
Yeah.
And a lot of y'all been supercharged like that. You know what I mean? You came out of the baptistry going, wait a minute, I am totally not what I used to be. And God is the reason for that. That's the first C. We want people connected to Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want you to know. Everybody you talk to Jesus about, not everybody's going to buy it. Don't freak out. I'm not one of these preachers that tells you every person I talk to receives Jesus. Guess what? A lot don't. But I talk to everybody. In a casual conversation, I don't get out a little cube, or I don't get out, unless I'm in a place I don't speak somebody's language, you know. But most of the time, I just ask people, you know, well, have you thought about what Jesus might do in your life? Now, that's easy to talk about if Jesus is doing something in yours. It kind of comes out natural. Have y'all noticed that? You don't have to be trained to talk about Jesus when you love Him. You have to be trained to talk about Jesus when you're churchified. Since that evil guy's making up words, I'm going to make up some words. Churchified. How many of y'all are too churchified? And do you really follow Jesus? I want you to ask yourself that question in 09. Because I want you to go to 1 John chapter 4, and I'm giving you bottom lines today. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? It means that you've come to this belief. You know God's madly in love with you. 1 John chapter 4 is what this church is built on. It's the essence of it. Guests and new people and folks that are getting ready to hang out at Hillview, here's what I want you to know. There's some things that drive us. Some attitudes that God has given us. This is one of them. We believe God is love. How many of y'all believe God is love? Just look at your neighbor and go, He loves you. I mean, that's important. He loves you, man. No, hold on, let that sink in. See, we fly by that. You know what I'm talking about, Lance? We just boom, fly by that. God loves me. No. God loves me. Let that percolate for a minute. He loves me so much, He has given me the power of His Holy Spirit so that when I am connected now by the grace of God, in the grace of God, through the grace of God, guess what? How many of y'all realize you are sitting next to a person where all things are possible? So here's what I'm asking in the name of Jesus, that we be the kind of church in 09 that Jesus wants us to be, and that is an all things are possible type church. Now, I'm going to ask you to live. How many of y'all ready to live? I'm going to ask you to quit doing this. Listen, man, listen, I'm loving you. Listen to your pastor today. And rarely have you heard me say that. Quit waiting to live.
Amen.
You know, we got a beautiful sister in this church, man. She served God faithfully. For many years. Serves on our staff. 3 weeks ago, she drove her car into work. 3 weeks ago, she was working in this church. She was punching numbers, keeping up with things that were going on in the church. She was a part of the kingdom of God, and she still is a part of the kingdom of God. 3 weeks ago, you would have said, man, she's just like one of us. Guess what? She's not sure if she's going to get up. Her life on this earth may be coming to an end. 3 weeks ago, though, she looked just like Eric. She looked just like the rest of us on staff. And you know what? Y'all hear me say this all the time, Aaron. You've heard me say this since you were a little ballerina. Life is what? Live it! Some of you are going to say, well, I'm telling you what, when I get out of college, I'm going to be committed to God. Baloney. So I'll tell you what, how many of y'all said this as parents? Man, when I just get through raising these kids and I'm going to be really committed to God. You know what? People that do that, guess what they never do? They never end up being committed to God. Because if you were committed to God, you would start with Him, not wait on Him. See the difference? And you need to be committed to God while you're going through your university experience. Guys, listen, I can't give you a better, watch this. I know the devil's thought process. If he messes you all up right now at your university experience from 19 to 23, he'll have you in a wobble till you're in your mid-50s. The devil's not stupid at all. He knows if you kick the foundation, you wobble the house. Now, guess what? From about 20 to 26, what is a person doing? Mike Stewart, remember that? That was a long time ago now in your life. But I remember you in that season. What were you looking for? What am I going to do? What am I going to graduate? And who am I going to marry? Man, you messed all that stuff up in that time zone. Guess what? Some of you adults could say, listen, I didn't get my foundation right, and what happened to my house? Crazy. Get real on this, guys. Be honest with your life. Start living it. I want y'all to pray for Chris Mitz. That's our lady. It's going to take a miracle. I've seen them here at Hillview before. But y'all pray. She wins either way. Pray for her husband, Jim, and Derek, who plays the lead guitar on our praise team. It's his mama. Now, some of you could get angry and say, well, why do these things happen to people that follow God? I'll tell you, they're human. I'm going to be that real with you. When you go to the doctor and he tells you you got cancer, don't freak out. Don't think you get an exemption clause because you follow Jesus Christ. Guess what you are? Human. Guess what humans get? They get sick. And guess what ultimately happens to every human being? But let me tell you, the special ones that live a mark are the human beings that live while they're here. They live a full and abundant life because they connect to Jesus Christ. They let the Lord forgive them of all their sins. And since their sins are forgiven, they get an incredible ability that non-believers don't have. Guess what it is? To forgive others. Guys, I'm going to tell you, there's one thing I've learned in my life. I haven't done everything right. I'll be the first to confess it to you. I probably haven't followed all the little preacher rules like I was supposed to, and I've not done real good at religion. But I want to tell you something I've learned. The more you forgive, the more you live. The first connection point is this. Jesus Christ died on a cross to forgive us of our sin. And as forgiveness spreads through us, guess what comes out of us? Life! Here's what I want you to know at Hillview. You can put it back together, connect to the cross and resurrection. Healing. We can put this thing together. We can hang on. Our children can get better. Our lives can get better. I can make it through. How many of y'all got that kind of passion running through your veins? You do if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Because let me show you. God started it with love. Not regulation, but with love. Now watch this. The more you love, the more you will live. The more you forgive, the more you will what? The more you celebrate the great things in life, and guess what? Everything can be a celebration. How many of y'all need to celebrate? See, you really could put that C in our vision two ways. Connection and celebration, I really believe, are two keys to living this thing to the fullest. Now let's look. We're going to finish up. There's our vision. Connect people to the reality of Jesus Christ. Be connected to the reality of Jesus Christ. Look what it says. Note verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in who? God, and God in him. I want you to note something that's impossible. It is impossible to be a believer in Jesus Christ and despise people. And you say, well, Pastor Steve, I know people who say they're Christians who don't like people. They're not believers. They're churchgoers. There will be thousands and thousands and thousands of people who attended church on a regular basis who split hell wide open because they never practiced what they heard. They sat there for an hour and 15 minutes. They heard some songs, some preaching of possibility. They lifted up some prayers that bless me, and they walked out unchanged. You can't be touched by God and not be changed. No way. Better know truth. I said, well, Pastor Steve, you're scaring me. I may not be saved. Oh, you'll know if you're saved. You'll know if you're saved. Here's one way to know it. How you love people. How you love people. See, the saved love what the Father has created. Those who are yet to be saved, guess who they love? Themselves. Every decision you make in life, before you were a Christian, it was about who? Come on, be honest. Who was it about? Me. God sometimes has to just slap me upside the head. Now, He's a lot nicer to a lot of y'all because y'all are obedient. When I'm disobedient, you know what God does? Sometimes, man, just in those sessions when I'm having it out with God and He's laughing at me lovingly, He's saying, you know what, Steve? You're making this about you. It ain't about you. In fact, you're not as long as you think you're going to be. That's true, Lord. This isn't going to go on like you think it's going to go on. I'm in charge. That's what the C is. I'm willing to let Jesus Christ be in charge of our journey. How many of y'all are willing to let Jesus Christ be in charge of your journey? Change everything, man. So see in our church is this. Connect to Jesus Christ. Let the love of God shine on you. Look what He says. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we're like Him. Guess what you all ought to have? Those of you who believe in Jesus Christ, you ought to have some confidence. How many of you all have heard at least once so far in this moment of time that people are a little anxious this might be the end of the world? Wait, it's coming. The books will be out. I've laughed at y'all. Listen, if somebody believes it's the end of time next week and they're selling you the book, that ought to indicate something to you right there. That's not it. Exactly right, Rachel. I just don't want you to get suckered. You know, if it's the end of time, give me the book. What difference is it going to make? You know? And if they're worried about how much interest it's going to draw, nothing draws interest at the end of what? Time. But even at the end of time, you ought to be confident on this. Those of you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when God calls us home, where are we all going? Home. Now, for those of you who don't believe, I'd be worried at the end of time. Because you're not going with us. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I was a good man. You're not going with us. Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I was a beautiful girl. And I was nice to everybody. And I wore lip gloss. You're not going. But people liked me. Some did, but not as many as you think. What you missed is God loved you. Now, isn't that the real battle? Are we going to be liked by the world or loved by God? Connected to the cross and resurrection. God loves us so much that we can be confident on the day of judgment. I want to end with this. Healing and development. I hope you reach this point. Listen to this verse. 1 John 4.
18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out what?
Fear.
Because fear has to do with what? The one who fears is not made perfect in love. In the name of Jesus in 09, I hope you get this out of your system. What is it?
Fear.
Fear. What's this? Wow. For those of you out there in the working world all the time, every day, going through the grind, if you're not a person of fear, what kind of witness do you give? Blows people away. Watch this. I found this to be a witness. We're going to make it. Greg Powell, you're always a positive guy, man. You're out there painting, remodeling, reestablishing, doing all that stuff. When you're around other people, what do? We're going to what? We're going forward. Man, I mean, that's powerful. You don't have to be fearful. For those of you that are married, guess what? Instead of wondering, man, I wonder if we're going to stay married, why don't you start saying this? How are we going to live it to the fullest? For those of you who are parents, how many of you all get fearful about your kids? Oh, yeah, man, that's a real fear. Guess what? If you're a parent, you'll never stop worrying about your kids. So some of you college students, you think, well, yeah, I can't believe my parents are still worried about me. They are! Javen, guess what? Even when you get married and have a beautiful daughter, guess what? Your parents still are. Still worried. But here's what I want to tell you, parents. Fear not! God's in charge of your kids. How many of y'all turn your kids over to God? That's what connection, healing, and development's about. It's simply this. God loved us first. Thus we love others. So that the world might know the love of God. So we can walk in confidence and without fear that the Jesus we teach and we preach and we follow and we live through is a reality of life. Amen? Y'all got the vision of the church? You say, well, Pastor Ayers, why don't you complicate it for us so it can feel deeper? Y'all would be so disappointed in Jesus if you really met him, because he doesn't go through shenanigans. That's what I love about Jesus. Jesus wants to do a healing. Guess what he does? He doesn't jump up and down, do cartwheels. He just throws some mud in your eye. Jesus spits on the ground. How's that for a holy Jesus? Here you go, boy. Jesus uses simple things to do great works. That's why I think every one of you are beautifully made to do a great work of God. All right? Here's some things this year. How many of y'all would be willing to invite some of your friends to go to heaven with you? I'm going to ask you to just be conscious of that. I would make it at least a goal. One friend a year. I don't think that would be asking too much to invite one friend a year to go to eternity with you. Do you all? Does that seem too overpressuring for 365 days of your existence? And if you're too busy to share that message, you're probably just way too busy. And I found that as much as a lot of you sleep, you're not half as busy as you let on. It's the funniest culture I've ever seen in my life. Y'all heard that before, hadn't you? See how many times this happens to you this year. When you call somebody and you want them to go with you to do something, ask them this first. What are you doing? What will they say? Most of the time, what? Nothing. And as soon as you say, hey, why don't you come to church with me? What's the response? Well, I'm busy. So I have figured that a lot of us are busy doing, hello, and God would love for you to be actively engaged in loving others as He is loving you. We go make a difference. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I think I'm going to be a part of this. Now, don't tell them if you're not. Some of you need to look and say, I ain't doing none of this. Just be honest with people. Just look, how many of y'all, if you got honest, you'd say, you're sitting by an unloving human being. In fact, you got in the way this morning because you got in my seat. Oh, by the way, if you think you have a seat at Hillview, you're sadly deceived. That's number 11. It's first come, first serve. Whoever lands there is there. All right. Has this made any sense today? Y'all are beautiful people. But not as beautiful as you can be. What do you think? Instead of having a New Year's resolution, why don't we just become what we've been made to be? Faithful children of God. Let's try that out. Girls, I bet that looks better than whatever new face designer stuff's out there. What do you think? I like infomercials just because they crack me up. They found some new melon now you can squirt on your face and not get wrinkles. You know what? Ladies, let me tell you something. When you're in love with Jesus and the radiant love of Jesus is coming through you, you don't even see your face. You see His. Men, you talk about strength. When you don't operate on your strength and you start operating on Jesus' strength, then the world goes, "My God, my God." And I hope that's where we'll journey to in this new year together. Amen? Well, some of you need to get saved today because you've heard that you don't have to go to hell, and that's good news. How many of y'all glad you don't have to go to hell? Anybody excited about that? Man, I'm excited about that. I am excited about that. Now, I know a lot of you would like to have an argument and say, "Well, Pastor Ayers, how could a loving God create a hell?" Because He's a loving God. That's why. And a loving God doesn't accept evil. And a loving God doesn't accept things that thrash and smash and dice human beings. A loving God says, "This is a way of life, and this is a way where you don't find any life." A God wants us to live. Now hear me very carefully. God loved you so much that He realized you were a sinner. Do you see this? And He said, "In spite of not doing the right thing, I want you to know that I love you and I forgive you. I want you to note, if you really think about life, the number one incapability of humanity is forgiveness." How many of y'all found that to be true? I find in my life, even when I forgive, I remember. How many of y'all are like that? Elizabeth would have to confess, "I've even done this to her before. You remember 15 years ago when you did..." Jack does that too? "Jack, you sinner. Just like me, we're in the same boat." I said, "You remember?" How many of y'all ever do the "you remember"? Come on, huh? You know what God says? "I don't remember. I can't see your past through my blood." Whoa.
That's hard.
That is hard, isn't it? I never said it like that, but that's true. "I can't see your past through my blood." Oh, but hold on. What I can see, oh man, is your future. How many of y'all glad to know that when Jesus looks at us through His blood, He cannot see, Amber, what we used to be? Oh, thank God. But He can see what I'm going to be in heaven. And I believe He gently encourages us each and every day to get there. What do you think? So I'm inviting you to a life filled with passion, has joyous moments. There's some difficulty, but we end up in eternity with God forever. It's real. Make sense? Now, I don't preach a popular message. There's not going to be a lot of people jumping up and down in the world just excited that you became a Christian. We're going to jump up and down here that you became a Christian. But I want you to know the power of God is strong enough to hold you there until Christ returns. So keep believing. Amen. If you all don't mind, I'd like for you to come pray for Chris, would you? That's her name, Chris. God wants to work a miracle. I'm okay with that. Are y'all okay with that? Some of you all are walking miracles. The doctor said you were out, and I've been staring at you for 15 years. God heals too. Maybe you just need to come today and say, "You know what, God? I just need to hear you." How many of y'all just need some time? I just need to hear you, God. Just need to hear you. Don't need anything really dramatic. I just need to hear you, God. That's okay. I do want to give you some things, three of them, that we're about. Connecting people to Jesus, making sure people are healed, and developing, getting better. If you're into those things, you'll be into Hillview. If you're self-righteous, you'll struggle here. I'm just be real honest, first of the year. I'm not real big on self-righteousness, and this has just been my findings. I don't have them documented or researched right now. But I have found that most judgmental people do not judge themselves with the same standard they use on others. What has been your all's finding? Oh, we live on the same planet. I have found that most self-righteous, judgmental people are depressed and miserable most of the time. Mickey, you're in the business. What do you find? You can give me some statistical. Just don't ask them, but you can sense self-righteous people, can't you, Mick? Just check them off on your patient list. How many of those, quote, mental health problems really occur from an unforgiving spirit? It'll drive you crazy. You know why? Here's what I found. I always end up loony when I try to be God. God forgives. God restores. God heals. He has a name. What's His name?
Jesus.
Sister Coleman, He'll work, right? You've been walking with Him, girl, more than a couple years, right? We ain't going to get into how many, but it's been over two. Amen? Well, let God reform your life today. Well, let's stand if you feel comfortable doing that. And if you don't feel comfortable, stand anyway. Unless you can't stand. And if you can't stand, we'll pray that you can walk. I want everybody to be focused for a minute at this invitation time. Starts off a brand new year, 09. Okay? And listen to the Spirit. Lord Jesus, to the best of our ability, we have tried to communicate the heart of who You are. God, thank You for loving us, even when nobody else would. God, I want to thank You for forgiving all of us in this room of our sin, whether we realize it or not. Lord, I want to lift up Chris right now, and I want to lift up Jim, and I want to lift up Derek. And I just pray with my church body, this family, that she would be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for all of us together that we will work together to invite others to go to heaven, and that we would work together, Lord, to really share Your love, and that we would allow You to heal us, and You would allow us to develop together to be better than we were last week. Now, God, I pray for the young folk here. I pray for the older folks here. I pray for those that are parenting, those that are grandparenting, those that are living life to the full, and those that are wondering if it can be lived. Lord, I pray right now that You speak a message to all of us. But Lord, right now I pray that a spirit of forgiveness fall over this place, that we'd forgive one another as You have forgiven us. Lord, that we would love one another as You have loved us. That we would be at peace and not at war. That we would see greater potential than we attempt to see. Now, for that to happen, hear me. The Lord's speaking to some of you. All you all know that. Good. Thank you for listening today. Just let that Spirit sit right in the congregation. That's cool. Now, look. Holy Spirit's got our attention. It's all right. Look, nobody's jumping around. And the Spirit's real thick. He comes in different ways. Now, I want you to listen. If you know right now Jesus is telling you, you come on. Come to the front because we do want to talk to you. But Jesus is saving you. Just tell Him right now, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. And Lord, I want You to forgive me. See what He does. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. Forgive me for that sin. Lord, I believe You died on the cross. I believe You've risen. You've risen from the grave. And guess what God's going to do? He's going to bless you forevermore. Forevermore. Some of you need to come and be baptized. You know you're a believer in Jesus Christ, but you've never been baptized. Get that confirmed. Some of you need to come and just be in thanks. But it's real. It's real, Chuck. You're still here. Huh? What do you think about that? You're still here, brother. So right now, in the name of Jesus, come, okay? Come as the Lord leads you. O Father who art in heaven, as we pay attention to you in this moment, I pray now for healing. Lord, I pray that all my brothers and sisters in this room, man, they'll just be touched by you at this invitation time. I pray that drugs and alcohol and things that people become addicted to will be broken in this room. I pray that bitterness and envy and jealousy and other things that people come addicted to will be broken in this room. I pray that you hold us and heal us. Lord, I pray for those that need to be saved, and I pray for those that need to be baptized, that as your Spirit draws them, they'll come right now. They'll come right now, and they're going to be changed forever. And Lord, I pray that you just speak at this altar. Oh Lord, speak at this altar.